good morning, honorable members. We are all welcome. Thank you so much for availing yourself. Let's start by doing the housekeeping matters. We've got the, let's deal with the apology. We've got an apology from honorable member Boy. He's also meeting. Honorable Ayanda Dodo is also attending cabinet meeting. And also Honorable DM, she came here, but after she noticed that we are dealing with DME, she requested the excuse because she had a big incident last week, so she wasn't in the office, so she just wanted to catch up on the work in the office. And honorable new member, Chaku, EFF member, what's the name of the team? No written apology. Unfortunately, I've done it in writing, so the prerequisite is that the apology must be in writing. And honorable Janetta Vela is slightly late. I believe she got away.
Honourable Chair, before we begin, I would like to say something that I would like the committee secretary to take up. This is not my favourite room because of the lighting. It's always been bad in this room, and I depend on lighting to see the interpreters as opposed to listening. So the lighting is very bad in this room, so I'd like to humbly request the committee secretariat to ask Parliament Maintenance to replace all the bulbs that are not working and so the light can be turned on, because the room needs to be brighter, and for 2-3 hours to watch the interpreter is not easy for me. So please, the lighting of the room could be taken care of. Thank you.
No, that one is quite noted, Honourable W. We apologize about that, and I think also I need to take it up with the house chair, so that it doesn't view as a nice thing to have, just for that as government to be present. Thank you for the and also from the admin, from admin has joined with a new admin support, if I may use that word, Ms. Sandra. She specializes on language. She's got with us a 2-year internship program that she's been working on. And I hope you enjoy and learn more, and also we are going to benefit from the upcoming. Anything that you feel that you to capacitate and empower our committee through our management meetings that we invited, we are free to discuss the issues in that space. Thank you so much, Eleanor. But my scholar, one of your questions then, you are quite clear on the identity. If not anything is going to happen to your computer, just consider the bottom of your reducing from general so that it becomes greater. Honourable members, may I request that point 3 we bring it down at last week between after immediately after committee, so that we can allow the officials to recuse if they want to leave. Are we in agreement with that arrangement? Thank you. That brings us to DPME. Dr. Ziki, you are most welcome. You introduce your colleague. I thought he was a journalist sitting in the corner there. I could see the smile, but I was not too sure. You are most welcome. Thank you. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning to the Chair and to the Honorable Members. We are going to be presenting to the Committee today the results for MCAS for 2016. With me, I've got Mr. Hassan Mohammed. He's the head for LGMIN at CPME. He will be presenting the results for the local government monitoring.
If I can say, members, just to recap of the MCAS results, we recall that the last 2 years in our mutual report, we did make a recommendation that says that the MCAS could add value to us in terms of timing and presentation, that it also come on the review to the answer that we are able to measure the performance. Because as we stand now, we see the PR exercise. But I have raised the house change with the chair meeting last week, which I was invited to the acting chair, to say if they can look at that. If it needs to be to change the policy, I know that it's tougher than Patricia to do that, but I have raised it because as BPME and BPSA, this is one of the tools that can help us also when we are dealing and also assessing the department. And I hope Dr. Kandili, in your presentation also, I just want to preempt your presentation hopefully, but I didn't see it on the slide, that we wanted you also to go one step forward, not only to assess, pick up the weaknesses, but also the support on mitigating factors to ensure that they do also implement whatever weaknesses they will be able to have examined this day. Over to you, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair is right. I think by the guidance of the portfolio committee over the years, we developed a support strategy for the department. So we don't only monitor and bring results, we also do intervention in those departments that are struggling. Although we have not included it here, but we can talk when we talk about those core performance departments, the intervention that we have started there. In our presentation, we also would like to just highlight the progress as well as challenges that keep coming there and how we are dealing with them. To the honourable members, I think I would like to pretext my presentation by saying that our government's priorities are reducing poverty, inequality, and therefore our aim of assessing and supporting management practices in public sector is to ensure that government departments are able to actually drive the change that we want to see in our country in terms of reduction of poverty, reduction of unemployment, and improvement of service delivery. So the assessment of management practices is not in isolation. It's actually ensuring that we've got a capable state out there that is performance-driven, that is development-oriented, but is also putting people first. So this is why the Honourable Members will see that in our assessment areas, we keep increasing now, we go more to the delivery areas as well. So in the beginning of MCAT, 5 years ago, we were assessing the management practices, purely compliance with the regulations that are out there. Now we have started more in a small scale to actually look at the delivery areas. So when we're assessing education, we also look at your core delivery areas. So when we're assessing health, we look at that because we want to see the ability of the department of these institutions to implement the MDP. I will start by this summary slide that just show average finance score per KPA, per key performance area. The point I would like to make as honorable members are looking at those five key performance areas: strategic management, governance and accountability, human resource management, financial management as well, is that there is a steady improvement, as members can see, from 2.5 when we started in governance and accountability to 3, which is really a score that shows that there is improvement in governance. Governance, we're talking to the management structures and the department, the ability of departments to to implement a performance management system to ensure that risk management is implemented in the department, to ensure that there are anti-corruption strategies in the department. So from 2.5 now, departments are on the average of 3, which is really a sign that there is improvement in governance and accountability. Strategic management also is an area that shows improvement. Honorable members will see that when we started, it appears that the department was blending well. And I think that's a phenomenon that we saw throughout the country, that there were good blends. But we followed up as we came in to look whether those good blends are followed up by practical operational blends and implementation of those blends. This is why members will see that then there was a bit of a dip, department went to 2.9, because we're comparing what they have in the blend and what they have in the operational blend and what they are doing. So there was that dip in the previous year. Now it has gone back to 3.0. It shows again steady improvement. It means departments now are following up what they have planned in terms of operational plans. So you can see the alignment between the strategy and the APP. But still, as DPMB, we keep increasing, you know, the standards. So when you say that there's alignment between the strategy plan and the ATP, we then look at the performance. How far have you gone in implementing that which is in the ATP? And we see that the departments are performing there. But then we again go further. We assess these performance standards that they set for themselves to see if they set that is the standard so that they achieve or they actually have set realistic standards. That's under strategic management. Under human resource management, honorable members will see that it's coming from a low of 2.3 because it shows the picture of what is happening in our public institution. And now, public institutions have shown 3.0. And that KPIs look at people management, contracting, assessment. So we have seen that people are aligning to the policy. They are contracting with people in the department and they are doing assessments, but now again we've upped the standard to see that those assessments that are done, are they really credible? What are the contracts that they have signed together? This is why now we're developing the guidelines as the PME for performance agreements. We want to see what's in the agreement. We want to standardize what's in the performance agreement for, especially for HOD, because we know when we start there, this work is started after the PSA approved the PMCS policy. So we want to see that what is in the agreement of the HOD is going to be followed through in the agreement of the DPG, followed through in the chief director, so that at least when they assess each other and they are saying that there is performance, it should be really performance that is translated to improvement at the department level. So I want to just say to the members, there is improvement, but still it's under 3, which is really required level. So they are improving gradually in the area of human resource management, but the picture that you see is the picture that a lot still has to be done in our public institutions, government departments, as well as public entities. Financial management, yes, has shown a lot of improvement, I think, because everyone wants to comply with the auditor general because they are making sure they don't get disclaimers or unsatisfied audits. But we want to see that translates to the value added in the work that is done in the department. So we look at the audit outcomes, but we go back and look at what the department has achieved in terms of its mandate. So the honorable members will see that score of financial management is actually the score that beats all others, which then sends a message to us as a country, what is it that people want to comply with most? Is it the auditor general, or really wanting to ensure that the people on the ground, they are receiving services? There's got to be a fair balance, why we want to aim for clean government, we also have to aim for the improvement in service. So that's a summary of scores in all the areas that are assessed, and I thought if I just start by giving those insights so that it doesn't look like we are just capturing the improvements, or but we are analyzing to say yes, there are improvements, but other areas also. It highlights other areas that we need to intensify work that we do as a Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. The standards listed there are the standards that are best performing in terms of the areas that we assess and the standards that are worst performing. So it would be seen that the best performing standards are in the area of disposal management, logistics, demand management, all those are in the area of financial management, management structures, and the area of governance and accountability. Internal audit seems to be doing very well in most departments. Acquisition management, strategic planning, cash flow management of cash flow. This area seems to be doing well, but we are really intensifying work in this area to make sure that the HODs are not just doing the balancing of shit to make sure that they address the audit agenda. We want to ensure that even service providers that are serviced in departments are paid within the days, because we've seen that what we see, the cash flow management is good, but the complaints that still come in from service providers who are not paid within 30 days. So that assessment area, as we are seeing the improvement and that is doing well in departments of cash flow, we have started with NCPME engaging in departments where they've got a good cash flow, but they've got a high amount of invoices and in terms of numbers and rent bill that is owed to the service provider. So we compare that. So we see sometimes that there's a good cash flow, the department seems to be doing well. But when we compare with the service providers that are being owed, we see that all there's a management of books here. So we started engaging those departments, especially the Department of Health nationally. We have started engaging with them because we saw that that cash flow might translate to the picture that we see in terms of paying service providers within the day. On the right-hand side is those standards that are not performing well, like the disciplinary, the management of disciplinary cases, which still counts for the 2.1, diversity management in department, payment of suppliers there, it's 2.3. So when you assess this, it shows that departments are still, some departments, we've got departments that are doing well for the report of those departments that are doing well in paying their service providers within 30 days, and then we've got those continuously poor performing departments that don't even pay their service providers. Organizational design, the structure has been, this area has been affected, and departments argue that it is the budget that has reduced, which makes them to have vacancy rates that are considered, and then we say those that then cannot be funded. It means they must be abolished in the structure because they don't give a good future. So DPSA also has that policy that if you can't fill the post within this time, so you must abolish that post. So the non-funding of posts, whether it is justifiable, reduce the budget to that department, it then gives that picture of 2.3. PADA, also departments don't comply, some departments don't comply to PADA, and then it has even that of 2.4. SMS, PMDS, excluding the HOD is another area that shows that there is contracting, and then in other departments you find difficult cases that do not want to contract with the HODs. And we say it's a management practice at SMS level that when a person doesn't want to contract, you follow through and understand the reasons why. And if they don't comply, then you implement what your disciplinary measures, because you can't have people that do not contract and they are in the system. So that indicator in some departments is 2.4. PMDS for HODs, this has been an area that both DPSA and Public Service Commission, as well as DPME, have been trying to address. The good news is that the policy has been approved, there's been project now that we are embarking on of developing the guidelines to make sure that that policy is implemented correctly and that the implementation of that policy is coming this April. And we have to ensure that by that time, all those HOD assessments that were outstanding have been dealt with so that we don't have DGs and HODs to take us to the previous era. We have seen a reduction now in the outstanding assessments between the HODs and their executing leaders, and we still have some, a few outstanding, and we are meeting with those. And there's a meeting tomorrow where the DG is the PME, DG Public Service Commission, the PSA, and the DG and the Coroner. They are sitting together to actually deal with the issues. I think there are few DGs that have had issues with their leaders that haven't been assessed. So that's another one we dealt with. Service delivery, improvement mechanisms, recruitment and retention. Those are the scores that contribute to the picture that we see in areas of non-performance, of poor performance. Now, the following slides really unpack each area under governance and accountability, as I explained, and I have said to the honourable members, the picture shows good improvement by the department, except in the area of PASA, which still needs more intense work to be done. ICT governance has improved what it used to be, so departments are improving in that area. Risk, fraud prevention, the feature that we see there, I think shows that we still have to work more with departments to ensure that officials stick to the fraud prevention strategies and fraud prevention policies that are there, and that they are not afraid to do whistleblowing when they have to do that. So that indicates a fraud prevention indicates that there's still lack of enforcement of the implementation of fraud prevention strategies in the department. I would like to focus on this next slide on HR, which is the area that over the years has been showing poor performance. So I have discussed the areas that are really affecting the score negatively, but what I want to talk about is what DPME is doing to improve this area. So the DPME started a support strategy to help those departments that are struggling most in this area. So we have a forum where we work with the DPSA officials because we see that departments are struggling in the implementation of the DPSA policy. So we interrogate this area, we share with them the framework to ensure that they improve this area. The one area that has been consistent strike of our department is the diversity management. And that shows the picture that throughout the country that departments are struggling, you know, in diversity management. I think the policies and the interpretation of the policy is also ensuring that they buy in from senior management, from top management in the department to the lowest level to actually deal with diversity in the department. Employee health and wellness departments seem to have improved a lot, and as you can see, we've been supporting and advocating that there be focus on improvement in the employee and health wellness indicator, because we believe that if we have got a healthy workforce that are looked after in their work, we will reduce the absenteeism at work, we will ensure that there is delivery that our citizens expect from us. So So that indicator is coming from really the lowest of 2.1, but departments now are reporting to us the work that they are doing in terms of assessment of people's businesses in terms of disease profile of departments, in terms of bringing support from outside to ensure that health and wellness is a standard item in the management meetings, but also there are activities that are done throughout government to take care of employees. We have seen other members who compare maybe with data coming from other departments that our workforce is as affected as just the general population by high blood pressure, by diabetes. When you look at the employee workforce in government, you see that they still the majority of old people. So we saw that if we don't pay attention to those or to that workforce, it translates to absenteeism at work. So this is one area that I think I'm happy to report that work is really improving and we are ensuring continuous improvement in that area. I've talked about the issue of TMDS. I've talked about financial management, and I would like to have to go to the slide that talks about the centrality of managerial leadership. Honourable members who presented to, I think, last year, we shared the case studies that we have seen both from those departments that are performing well and compared with those departments that are performing poorly. And we saw that where there is stability in the leadership, where there is managerial leadership systems in place, processes, structures, that the department does not rely on the HOD, the whole engineering the department running, those are the departments that perform better. And we have seen that in those departments where there is change in the executive leadership, it translates to some instability in the department, and the department performs poorly. We just showcased here the case of Northwest. Northwest was performing poorly. There was no HOD for a number of years. The HOD, the DG just started, and the DG committed to put in place a turnaround strategy for the province, and we wanted to show the members how it has directly translated to improvement in other indicators in the province. So it shows that where there is good leadership committed to turning around the situation, you will see the improvement. We showcased Northwest, which was really performing poorly. We also show other provinces how they are performing in this area, but we just wanted to highlight that because all our members will remember that when we're counting the provinces, we would count Limpopo, we would count Mpumalanga, and then we would count Northwest. So Northwest is actually going up, and even Mpumalanga also shows improvement this year. Limpopo also must be commended because they are also now beginning to up the standards in terms of general managerial leadership as seen in all the indicators that we use to assess. In this case, also did a jump. You see, they are 3.1 in terms of the average scoring, moving from where they used to be at 2.5. So this for us shows is evidence that there is indeed improvement in government. Although it is daily, it also shows us that this program that we're implementing MPEP, it is beginning to have impact in managerial leadership, and it is translating to improvement in delivery in key areas. And this is why now we are adding core delivery indicators so that we see that improved managerial leadership practices is translating to improvement in service delivery. The challenges that the challenge that we have raised is that HR, HR and indicators, as well as payment of suppliers within 30 days, they still continue, they are still persistent, and the other areas that we want to intensify the support that we're giving the department. The result highlights really the centrality of leadership in driving improvement, and they would like that the areas where there is gap or the instability in leadership, that the honorable members assist us to make sure that they stabilize them at that level, because it translates to improvement and in, you know, more efficiency in the organization. And we are working hard to close the gap between the management practices as well as the delivery. That is our focus and head. So we think with that shift that we are beginning to take more the indicators that talk to deliver in the areas that the department is mandated to deliver. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Dan. Thank you, honorable members. There is a report. I think it starts to talk to the issues that we raised previously. I can see Honorable Dawu, Honorable Kosa, and other members will follow on first. I'll come to you, Honorable Dawu. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. The this whole narrative is crystallized. If you hold the slide on page 3 of the presentation and slide 4, we can hold them together as we have them here in the presentation that we have. It tells the story. It actually tells it very, very clearly, because if you look at HR management, that's where the problem is. And if you look at the performance in terms of, or lack of performance in terms of disciplinary cases, it tells a story. And last week, or a week ago, we were doing third quarter results, and this thing came out. Now, this effect is already a year or so old, but it means that it persists, the whole issue of disciplinary cases not being done. And I think what is of concern is that unless this thing happens, all the other indices below those things that you know are going to be malfunctioning, dysfunctional, because they know it doesn't matter, they never get to my case, you know, I can't just go. So this is very, very important. It's actually very, very important for DPME to get to this thing and put their foot down. And of course, that's one of the issues that I always have about. The lack of tools to actually discipline these people there. And if you go to slide 7, you see also something that is very worrying about what we're talking about. That not only is it poor in terms of discipline and cases, but there's a regression from the previous year. It was at 2.4, now it's gone down to 2.1, which means in the year between the two, it went down. I mean, it's bad enough, but to actually be sliding backwards is actually quite a serious problem. The other issue that I was just to highlight, it's not on the slides that you have, but it's in the presentation that we got. I don't know if you can get into your system that into table 1, strategic management KPA heat map of national departments, where we get an analysis of the performance of all the departments. And of course my interest is in planning, monitoring and valuation. And when I look at planning, monitoring and valuation, I realize that there's not a green. There's no green there. There is yellow, and of more concern is that there is a 2 under monitoring. So the department itself has to actually do much, much, much better. As I say, it's not in the presentation, it's in the documentation that we got. It's this one, yeah. So the department itself actually has you know, the champion, they're supposed to champion this thing. And when these guys look at this thing and say, ah, we're better than them, we've got a green in the, you know, strategic, whatever, they don't even have a green there, so we're not going to do anything. And next time you tell them to do something, they look at you and say, look, I said, what's this thing? You know, you can't tell us anything. So So it's very, very important that we look at those things. And finally, in terms of leadership and management, Northwest, yes, indeed, we encourage people when they improve, but then you'll be aware that they're still the lowest in terms of that. You've got to really back up, otherwise they're going to be probably there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable
Chair.
Thank you very much, President, thanks for the presentation. Chair, when you opened, you raised something like a question. I don't know if maybe that has been captured as a question, the issue of the report of 2016 and 2017. But maybe I never asked you very well, but I have that as a question myself, that what impact does it do? We'll need maybe that to respond to. But maybe one was expecting that they will be dealing with the 2017 impact so that it be assisting us going forward.
Let me just ask this to honor. I was just recapping for us to register against the department that it has been a parliament decision. So as officials, we must look at that so that there is an alignment with the impact results and be to our processes.
No, thank you for the chair for that. I want to start with in slide 3. I don't know what to call it. It's not a graph, it's just a diagram. I don't know what to call it. To me, it's always reflecting improvement. I wanted to check as to whether it is reality good. You know, you don't have the ups and downs. You always go up. Maybe I don't understand this thing. You can maybe clarify me as to what it entails. Because I know, really, in the worst situation, it will be even ups and downs. But with this graph here, or a diagram, I'm seeing everything that is going up. Yes, we like that. We like that everything should go up. Yeah. It is good when things are going up, but they need to be realistic when they are really going up. The other issue is what strategic management versus HR management. My poor understanding is that strat management is a higher level and HR is a bit lower than the strategic management. But I'm seeing them doing fine while the ones in the lower level are not doing good. What can be a cause of that? Can I be assisted in that regard? The other issues in slide 7, I just want to know with regard to diversity management. It's down. Do you have a clue as to what can be the challenges regarding diversity management, so that you can be able to improve on that? The worst performance in the child chair is areas of labor relations unit with regard to disciplinary hearing, where there is a shortage of staff, and or those that are there seem not to be properly, or all of them being getting sufficient training, or more especially on TESA. Who then is responsible for training them so that we can be able to know as to how to move from here so that they be getting assistance? The last one, the poor results on human resources. It is said to be caused by the departments that are not adhering to time frame. Issues that are raised by the PSA are not being taken care of. What then are the plans in place to ensure that such things are taken care of and they be improved? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. So with slide 9, the improvements in the Northwest, I would like more detail. Improvement in what? What impact can advise the department to keep or to improve? So for example, Honorable McGowan already said that it's still the lowest, yes, it's improved, but it's still the lowest. So what can the impact team advise to the Northwest to continue with the improvement and eventually get up to get above the fee? And in relation, well, maybe that will fall under employment wellness, employee wellness, but it could go under diversity management as well. The employment wellness, because if the employee is comfortable in the workplace, the employee will then stay. So people with disabilities, I've noticed that in the different departments, you know, the numbers are always going up and down, but the percentage always stays below 2. The impact team, do they advise the department when they look at employment wellness, or why the employees leave, or why they're not happy in the workplace, and for people with disabilities, what to look at for people with disabilities. You know, so because that makes the numbers remain low. Some departments below 1% was 1.5%. So can impact assist departments in that regard to keep the numbers above 2%. I still feel 2% is too little, but at least keep the numbers above 2%, and can impact advise how to do that. I see you have a full report, and I haven't yet gone through all of it, but I would like to know, when the percentages are low, what are the recommendations that the impact team can make to the department? I can see the conclusion, but what are the recommendations that are made by the team? And the impact team, does it follow up on those particular recommendations the following year to make sure that the department, you know, do the improvements that they need to do, etc.? Does impact team follow up on those recommendations? And that's all I have for now. Thank you.
I have certain concerns about the human resource management, but I think I've been covered by both Honorable Mittal and Honorable Corden. Then I just have one other small issue, and that relates to the score that's reflected here with regards to organizational design. And it would appear as though departments are going ahead and filling positions without necessarily involving DPSA in the process. Now, what I would like to know is, are there consequences for them? What do you do to almost whip them in line? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My question is really around what value can be extracted from this tool. Because any performance assessment tool, we want to see some sort of value, and the value that I'm looking for is accountability. So my question really is this tool and the outcomes of this tool being utilized, or can it be utilized, particularly in holding senior officials accountable for their performance? Because a lot of it, and you said, the management ability is central to performance. So surely, if that's true, if, for example, we're having problems, and some of it is very dire in some of the departments. If I look at human resource management KPAs, departments like telecommunications, you're having ones in many of these areas. Where it's sort of just no compliance whatsoever, or nothing is being submitted, etc. So is there anything that can be done where the performance of officials who are responsible for specific areas, whether it's finance, whether it's human resource, etc., can be held accountable and others even rewarded where there's good performance. And I think that follows on that, are the officials then getting performance bonuses where it's actually according to the to our assessments, they're not performing at all? And I think once we can do that kind of an analysis and ensure that departments are utilizing the tool accordingly, managers then feel accountable for the increase in performance, whereas it's just a report that serves before the committee every single year, we ask a few questions, and then it's until the next report, the next year, when the department decides to use it or not. And I haven't really seen it being used in other portfolio committees, if I'm to be honest about it. It then becomes a meaningless exercise in itself. So that's my question, Chair. Just on a light note, it's good to see that the Western Cape still has the best average score. I'll just leave that for the election campaign.
No, you don't need to, because it's textual. That shows that the officials are not biased and voting for the ruling party, and that's what we want. But also, picking up on that, you said on a lighter note, to say, can you also borrow best practices? Because the laws and the policies and the procedures and everything is the same. So there must be probably a more soft issue in terms of the attitude, probably also caused by the turnover of the DGs as well, which I totally agree with you, Doc, when you said that at least on that space we are seeing some improvement, but we still want more. Having said that, I would like you to unpack if you say there's an improvement on ICT. Because where I'm seated, it tends to be more of a personal issue. The PASA that is outdated, that also falls under ICT. But also ICT in terms of the, for some of the departments, they miss the closing date or the actual date of loading up the information, i.e. Public Service Commission has engaged in that. So if your ICT is on stretch, because if your ICT is on stretch, it will also be telling you something that should be somewhere in the corner and ring like a bell to tell you that we are left with 24 hours to upload whether the performance and assessment or also declaration of financial interest and such. So I have them asking, can you unpack if you say there's an improvement on ICT, what does that mean? The other one that I would like to raise, probably members before I even raise that one within the same point that I'm going to raise, is to say if we can squeeze ourselves and have time to call this department, even the one that they always say, Honorable Governor says charity begins at home, and home he educated me to say home is us, the DPSA and DPME, and I think I'm finding comfort on that. If you look at your public service department in DPME, page of your elaborate report with colors, 16 of 35, we're not doing well. Because if I look at the scores in green, it seems that we're just walking in the park, everything is green. There's health, people are more alive, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. The other colors will be something else, which we do not like to see. So charity begins at home. Probably in one of our good interactions with you at DPMP and DPSA, we should say, what makes you not lead by example? Because I always, in terms of the official, see the same faces. That means the same brains are still there, notwithstanding the change of the executive and the DG. And also the other one, which also members I would like to draw our attention, is make my trader. It's not so good, there was very few greens. There is something wrong there. They can't be the custodian of our persons through their seculars and all that, but yet they can't just be like science and technology. And the reason is not because science and technology has got better budget, better budget than anybody else. The compliance and the standards are the same. So which means there is something not wrong there. If you can help me, I don't know why I might be wrong, what is the role of the provincial planning commissions, the commissions of yield? Because I thought also they are more of an extension of the PME in terms of making sure that the plan and the compliance, so to speak, it also ties here, but I'm not too sure I might be wrong. I know they do have commissioners, but the commissioners is under a public service commission. If you can help me with that, so that also in our report, we can pay attention to that, since the report also deals with provincial government. The last one from my side, one of the members that I would like to raise, is just to appreciate the work. Previous, last 3 years or 2 years, we invited public works. If you look at the impact result, there's a slight improvement. That shows that when we call departments to appear before our committees, there is a difference. But also the department, we're not going to be able to call all the departments, but also we'll try and identify the so-called serial offenders in terms of the impact result, so that they can explain to us and try and ask us and find ourselves where we can get towards the green. I'm saying that robust oversight that we did with the public works, it did work, although they're not good, because they're still below 3% as it were. Like your defense and energy and others. Other than that, from my side, we have been over to you, Dr.
Thank you to the honourable members for the questions, because I see they are meant to make us tools sharper and for us to improve in our areas of assessment. Let me really thank. I think I like what honourable Ndawu is doing. Correlation between two sets of data, and we really would like to encourage this from the researchers of the committee, not only to take our data, to also look at other committees, departments, when they come and what they say with their data and compare. So we're providing this data for that purpose, for cross-referencing, so that we see that these issues that actually come up when these two faces, it's actually a picture that is evident by other people. So I think Honourable Governor, this is on the head. The going down on the strategic management on the PME, the members shall remember there was a time where the PME didn't have an appointed DG, there was an acting DG. So questions on strategic management ask specific things. So we ask specifically, have management meetings to talk about the strategic plan. Why you are aligning your plan to the operational plan. And at that time, when it was the acting DG, there was also the time the PME was reviewing its mandate the past year. So it shows in the assessment. It is at that executive point that you're making a change, that when, if there is no DG or acting DG, it affects the organization. So MCAT assessment is sort of, you can't maneuver it. It asks, what have you done about your strategic document? What have you done in aligning your strategic plan, your ATP? What does the strategic leadership do? Are the strategic management structures in place? Are they meeting? So when there's no DG, you see that it becomes fluid, because one is going to be appointed. And in the interim, one is going to try and gather momentum, putting the organization in motion, trying to, and then there's a change of another, which is what happened to us as DPME. It was one and then was a change. So that it will show when it becomes MPEG is access to one thing. So that comparison. And because our members of MPEG are objective, remember like you say, the assessment criteria is the same. So it can't change because they are assessing DPME. They have to use the same assessment criteria to DPME. And the issues that were affecting the PME were identified. So I think our honourable minister would not be happy to see that, but it's the reality, there's been that transition to the PME.
Second question was on the disciplinary cases and honorable government responses. If that is budget is likely to improve in other areas, it's exactly it is the truth. I would also like to end by saying that if that's the DG at the head, because the DG must ensure that the leadership in that department complies with the deadline for dealing with disciplinary cases. There's the 90 days deadline. So if they deal with disciplinary cases after the deadline, it's going to show in the results of the effort. So why we put it in 90 days is because we saw that there are people that stay at home, they are paid by government, work is not happening, their cases are undealt with. So we have to put time frame to it that if you're investigating a person, you must make sure that there's investigation, there's resolution, the matter is close to being underway. So departments tend to do that, but they miss that deadline, which is then what then turns into the picture that we see in the result. But we take the point. If that can be taken care of, if this is the accounting officer, we ensure that each one in the department, including those who chair those committees, stick to the deadline, and they know that if they miss the deadline, something will happen because it will change the picture. So we take that point fully and invest so that we how we center that into the agreement of the performance agreement. So I answer the question why we are not sometimes leading by example change in other areas. So it's only the previous people and chair is right, as provided with the address in other rooms. Chair is right. The brain, the PMD would be there, but it was that ability at that top level to bring everything together. That is what he does in the other room. The bar chart, honorable business, the bar chart shows the content improvement. I understand, you know, sometimes when we display information, it looks, you know, clinical and neat, and it's like it's not changing the picture. So we do the assessment every year in September, which also answers the question that I think you were trying to clarify that the chair was raising, that we have to make sure that we perhaps change the time of assessment chair to make sure that we are ready with the results earlier than now to bring to the committee. So the assessments are done every year in September. So September departments do their self-assessment. Then there's a closing date in September. Then there's validation of the information, because when you say my department is scoring a 3 on this, you must upload evidence that you are indeed there. So there's time for uploading of that evidence, then there's time for verification of that information, so that we see that that evidence that has been uploaded is actually the correct evidence. And so we've got moderators that sit on all the provinces to model that, is this your score in line with this evidence that we have provided? And that happens around January. And then time that is open for departments to agree with their scores, or when they think the assessment has been unfair to contest, and when they contest, they have to provide evidence that's open around February, and then we conclude the report in March. So we take that's a process, but this committee chair, I think the committee raised last year that we need to put back the assessment time that it doesn't start in September, so that we can perhaps come to the committee at the time when departments have to finalize their plan, so the committee can help. But we are looking into that chair. So we're trying to see if we move it to at least beginning of the financial year. So the bar chart will look like the improvement. They will not show the up and down, is because departments also are continuously being aware of the policies that are there. So if last year they got it wrong, because the questions that they ask would be, some of them will be asking, but there will be new questions. So if they got it wrong, nothing, they know that in the next assessment, they're going to say we must produce proof that we discussed in performance in our management meeting, we must produce proof that we will assess the people, and we must upload that assessment. So they work on it. If they say everything, they work on it. But also we've got implementation, we call them improvement plan. So when we provide you with the assessment and say you have not done well in this area, the department must then do the improvement plan. We follow up to see if that improvement plan is being implemented. That is why they receive that the state increase in those bar charts. I hope honourable member understands. That's why the it cannot, yes, there are those departments that, again, you see they have gone down. And I think honourable Dan raised some indicators when it was up. I think it was in that case, and then said it goes up. So it can go down in other areas. That's from sometimes it's only the strategic management with governance and accountability and other indicators that show steady improvement. There are areas like diversity management, you see that other departments they will be here. But if they start, they don't get that increase, it can go down. So it will not do this kind of graph that you decide to use for visual representation of this data. It's because you want to compare just year previous year it was like this, another year it was like this. So this is why it looks like it's just going up. If we decided to use the other graph going into the dip, and then it was like that, just we chose these patterns because we do want to do the trend analysis so that the members can see, in the previous year they were doing well, now they are going back. Or in the previous year they were doing well, now they are going back. Just to make it for easy interpretation. We may choose to use the type that is more suitable for members who want us to do that. That's a visual representation of the data that we've analyzed. The Honourable Verma was asking what can we advise to not see that they have improved but still they are still they are lower than other provinces. So the improvement, shows that the new the guidance and direction of the new teaching shows that they are beginning to comply. And when we delve down into indicators, we see that they are doing better now, improving strategic management, governance, and accountability. So what we would advise them is that they just continue on steady in all areas that we assess. So we can't say focus on one. It must be in all areas that are assessed or what we are saying, we were showing just here that there is movement. It then shows that there is work done and we will follow up to see if that momentum is maintained by Northwest, and we do not attribute it to one person's presence. We're just saying that guidance and leadership and the presence of the CG is showing that the leadership is having impact in the entire leadership in that province. So, not one person, it must be everyone in the Northwest province aiming to be at par or if they can more than other provinces because they've been poor performance for a long time. The issue of diversity management, again, honorable, we take the input. It's the reality that the picture that we show there. And I like the philosophy that you put forward that if employees are happy at work, they also will perform better. There's evidence backing that. But we are saying that there are exit interviews for those employees that are leaving, and they are even administered even to disabled people. So what has been your experience, why are you leaving? So, and that information is gathered under H. So perhaps what we need to do is to see in the analysis of that information, how do departments put in place specific plans to to make sure that diversity management improves with the board that is in is not acceptable. And I said that the PME, we have been engaging departments to say what can they do differently to ensure the main problem has been in their recruitment of disabled people, and then those that are the the conditions of, you know, at work that makes it easier for them to perform their duties. Some departments do well than others in terms of making sure that they are taken care of, they can perform, the environment, the not only physical access, the tools for working for them. So departments are doing better, others not doing so better. So this is why we've been looking into that indicator to say what can they learn from those departments that are doing better in terms of diversity management. So we continue to put this indicator on a level that to be with one of the indicators that we support the department to improve. So the HR indicator, any indicators that have to do with HR, and the PME is having that forum for the speech with the HR manager to look at these areas that continue to paint the picture that they're not good at HR for purposes of improvement. In the support plan, in the support plan that we designed, we brought the PSA on board. We brought Public Service Commission on board. But we learned that the most areas that departments are not performing on are the PSA policy areas. So this is why we have an employee who is partnered with the employee at DPSA to work on these areas on the HRM compliance or HRM KPA compliance. What recommendations does follow up? I think that question has addressed by saying that there is improvement, but each department has got impact improvement plans. And one of the areas we assess under strategic management, we check if that improvement plan is discussed in the management meeting of departments, because we don't want the department to wait until there's another round of assessment. So management meetings must discuss the impact improvement plan. And affect other strategic management, yet it is actually to ensure that the department continuously addresses areas that we find to be lacking in that department. So that is how we follow up. We ensure that the implementation, we ensure that it's discussed with the management meetings, we ensure that it's implemented. So we have got a view of all of those improvement plans from departments, but we've got our own support strategy for the departments that are not moving even when they implement that improvement plan. We then get in there to check what is happening inside the department. The score on organizational design, and what is done about the departments that fill in vacancies will have to decrease. This is a competency of DPSA, all that we do with MPED is to ensure that the vacancies that are filled are in line with the organogram. And what we always experience is that most departments are reviewing with the organogram. So it becomes that a protracted process, we take time to finalize the reviewing of the organogram. But DPSA have got the competence and responsibility of ensuring that they approve, they endorse that organic that the department is going to be working on. And there's a policy that you cannot advertise unless the PFA has approved the organic. So those departments that don't comply, the PFA then has got a responsibility to deal with them to ensure that they comply with the policy of the PSA. Is this tool adding value? Alright. We have seen that the tool has added value on that one. Because when you look at what the picture was just 3 years ago and what the picture is in the department, you can see that the implementation of the MFH tool is not only bringing about governance and accountability in departments, it actually assists in improving. There was a report that we brought to the committee where we were showing in provinces where MCAT scores has improved, how it translated to improvement in education, and how it translated to improvement in health. So it is at embedded. And it is our hypothesis that when the department is not in order, it's difficult for a department as an entity to deliver on the mandate. Imagine where there is no guidance, no leadership, and yet there's a mandate to be fulfilled. So this is why we first address issues in terms of compliance, ensuring accountability. One of the indicators is governance and accountability. One of the KRAs, we want to make sure that there's procurement according to the policy, there's management practices that are according to the CPSA policy, there is compliance with the TFMA. So all of those, when the department are doing well in those, they contribute to doing better in performance and service delivery. What I think is coming up from your question, Honorable, is that whilst we have recommended that MCAT as a tool be included in the performance contract of the DG, I think from what you're saying, I'm giving the point that it should even be better if, even at the lower level, it would be known that if you fail in people management, if you fail in financial management, yes, there may be people are disciplined. But if you fail in this KRA, it should be known that your performance will not be affected. I think that is what we would take forward, that we don't just say the MPS scores are included in the teaching performance assessment. These indicators must actually form a compulsory area in the SMS performance assessment, because then in that case it would sensitize everyone in the organization to make sure that they deliver. For instance, the KRA of human resource management disciplinary cases, we know that at SMS level you are required to make sure that the people in disciplinary cases you deal with them in 90 days. But, and also that is in the assessment, the standard indicators that are in assessment. But I just think what we need to take forward is that if we take all those KRAs that are in MPES that have been put according to the new policy, they included in the digital agreement. Now they must have been included in all SMS. As we think that we're going to go back and put it in the guidelines, because we finalize the guidelines, we take it share, finalize the guidelines for implementation of the policy, so that this is going to go. And I've answered the question, Chair, why we're not leading by example. We're still leading by example, Chair. It's just very affected, I think, negatively in that transition. Thank you very much.
If our questions are not answered in our satisfactory, then Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say what I said before in terms of recommendation. In your full report under the table of contents, there is state's recommendation, but it says error bookmark not provided. So, and just think for a reader who doesn't come to the meeting and just wants to know what your recommendations are, you must just mention it. I don't see it there in the report. We know you did it, and the departments know what to do, but if a person from the outside would read this page, it's not there. Then my second question I left out, how does the impact, because you're one family, how does impact and DGP work with NSG, the National School of Government? When staff members need training or they need improvement in specific areas, how do you work together with the NSG? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much for the recommendations, but we shall include that in our room. We interface through the PMCS policy. It has been stipulated there that there will be training for the teachers, training for SMS, and training for those managers where areas have been identified for skilling. In this new policy for PMCS, we've included that even in our guidelines that we have developed as DPME, that we're still consolidating consultations on. We want to be specific because we want to ensure that NSG is taking care of the competency needs of our cadre in government.
Thank you so much.
Chair.
Thank you,
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thanks for having allowed me to participate, even if I come in and take it from the Chair, I just want to check to what extent is the MPET results guiding the policy review in a department? And the second question would be, is there any correlation, or is correlation evident between the MPET outcomes of the department and the Auditor General's findings on either financials or non-financials? How do they work? Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity. As we mentioned, my name is Nathan Mohammed. I'm responsible for the local government performance as well as the human sector. And this DDG is responsible for those two. They also correspond with, as you will know, the outcomes in the or the challenges in ANE, DLA, and CSA. The presentation will follow that format, starting with the concept and looking at their role. It also, as you will see from this, that we covered the fee in 1617, but I will give you an update on what's happening with the current cohort of municipalities. You know, just to remind honourable members about what's the premise or logic underpinning the LGM. You know, it's kind of described by this probably the simple equation. And this is borne out by international studies as well as studies locally, that quality of institutions matter. You know, results don't just, or good results and outcomes don't materialize through thin air. They come from the agency of institutions, and where you have poorly performing institutions, results will be poor. And where you have quality institutions, results will be, of course, great. So that's what, that's the kind of logic that Elsevier. So in this sense, in relation to our work, it combines two things, right? On the right hand side, the desired results, that's what we're looking for in terms of the MDP and the MTSF. And in municipal terms, we're looking at, as we know, that more and more people get access to, you know, affordable services, that there's good financial management, those kinds of things. But the left-hand side, we said that was fine. We can decree those results. But it won't be helpful if we simply decree it and we don't think about what must exist institutionally to deliver those results. So that's where the Elsevier comes in. It does, it analyzes on the left-hand side basically how the municipality goes about its work and you know, practices, various operational practices and so on, and whether it meets with the kind of standards that have been set for, you know, as optimal performance. I want to also just point out that, you know, of course, you will be aware that this is, there's a number of initiatives that operate in the space of, you know, municipal assessment and support. You know, you're aware of the B2B and city support program run by Treasury and other initiatives by sector departments to support municipalities, financial management and so on, just mentioning that. And it is, and so because there's an awareness of that context, the LGMM, you know, doesn't, aside from the fact that it's a very small unit, doesn't cover the full range of municipalities. And each year we focus on a particular set of municipalities. And, you know, we can talk about how, you know, that each set is selected every year. This, I think you're familiar with, is also very similar to the MPAT, or the performance is measured along these lines. And then we have a process of, you know, how the LGMM actually runs. You know, there's an initial period where we work with provinces and so on to identify municipalities. Everybody gets trained on what the system is about. We extract commitments from MMs that they understand the requirements and they commit to participate, therefore the launch part. Then we do the self-assessment. We moderate that assessment to see whether, in fact, the scores that they have given themselves is supported by the relevant evidence. From there we go into feedback, and this is where we meet with, check about this, we meet with the management team as a whole, with the municipal manager, and we present the moderated results. And this is an opportunity where the entire management team with us and the relevant provincial department of local government you know, finalize the scores. Basically, we mediate the discrepancies. Municipalities are given the opportunity to motivate again, provide new evidence so that we come to an accurate assessment. And then key, of course, is because any system like this is not an end in itself. It's not, end is not to produce a scorecard, as you, you know, have emphasized even earlier, that how do we use this kind of assessment, these kinds of assessments and diagnostics to to bring about improvement where performance gaps exist. The benefits to municipalities are, you know, can be summarized in those 5 points. The important thing is, which we haven't got to, is, and as NCK has mentioned, is basically the last point, right? It's about, because currently, either you can accept the commitment for municipalities to look at these results, to reflect on them, and identify, you know, those the areas of concern where improvements are needed and develop improvement plans. But unless there's a mechanism to see the extent to which senior managers are implementing the plan, then it becomes difficult. And so we're exploring the idea of, you know, senior managers' performance agreements to incorporate, you know, action. So if there's a technical, you know, the person who's heading technical services, for example, in a municipality, and there are issues coming out of water, sanitation, and all that, and actions are identified, you know, unless those get incorporated into performance agreements, sometimes they don't fall too much of weight. But just we'll give you a sense of the enrollment. There's about 40 municipalities that participated in the last one, and that's how they distributed. In the current period, let me just mention that the 2017-18 cycle, we have a similar number. And the point we are at is where we're busy giving feedback. So we've completed, the municipalities have completed their assessment. We've moderated that. And by moderation, I mean we also, remember in moderation we involve sector departments. So for example, colleagues from water and sanitation and colleagues from environment who do the refuse standards and so on. And now we are in at the point where we take those moderated results into a management meeting with all the senior managers of a municipality. We are accompanied by the province, and we present the moderated scores, and they have an opportunity to, you know, clarify discrepancies or provide us with new evidence and so on, and motivation, so that we get the accurate assessment. Just one thing to point out in all of this, and I'll get to it, is that we, each year is a separate set of municipalities. So it's not a similar trend that emerges, as you would see with impact. And the way we want to establish the trend is that going forward, we'll get, so let's say there's this group of municipalities, we get them to commit to improvement plans, right? Those are all noted and signed off on, and they're given a year to implement before we come back to them. Because some of these improvements are not going to happen overnight, okay? And because we're doing a small group, right, in the interceding year, they have an improvement plan while we're doing a new set of municipalities, and then the year that follows, we redo the assessment, and then we would see then a change or an improvement, okay? This is high level. We'll go into the detail of each of the standards. So across the top there, I don't want to be fancy too much, but those are all the standards organized into 6 key performance areas, right? The first two there are related to IDPs and the implementation of the IDPs. The pinkish one, the color, about 8 of them relate to service delivery. So but focusing on the key services, water and sanitation, refuse, things like that. And then the 2 here relate to human resource, and then we have financial management, budgeting and supply chain. Then we have community engagement and participation. And the last surface here is orange that are those related to governance. Right? The interesting thing about what we call this a heat map, you might probably of course came across this kind of map before, but it gives an interesting first impression of, you know, where things are happening, where things are not. So as I'll go into the details as I said, but at the top of our heads you can see that there's a predominance of red in this group of municipalities, right? A lot of that cluster in the services area, clusters in, you know, parts of finance, right? Particularly around this set, which is around the way municipalities plan and manage their budgets and revenues and so on. And then it clusters around important areas of governance. But as I said, we'll go through that. Now, why are we here just before I go into the detail, is to bear in mind that an assessment of this nature, or at least in the way that we started, are meant to reveal two things from the point of view of DPME's mandate, right? One is that it gives them, of course, a picture of a group of municipalities so that there can be targeted intervention to help those municipalities improve. But the other important thing that it reveals is the extent to which departments and entities who've been given responsibility for monitoring, supporting constitutional and legislative responsibility to monitor, support, and enable municipalities to carry out their mandate, how they perform. So it provides an important insight. And so, you know, and I think it's been talked about from the MPA discussion, how then this latter part is about how, of course, it can therefore be used to improve accountability to those other departments. These results are showing that, financial management, for example, is poor. It will tell us that the custodian of the MSMA, which is National Treasury, and its support mechanisms are not working. At the same time, of course, it tells us about, so I'm just making a general point. Similarly, it will tell us about how sector departments, either like water and others, who are doing assessments and carrying out support initiatives, whether they are having an impact. So I just want to show that there are two important aspects, and so how honorable members can use this as an extension of how it engages departments and so on in terms of the impact that they have in given their constitutional and legislative mandate. For our part, we take these results to, of course, political structures like the Interministerial Committee on Basic Services and so on, and highlight, you know, the issues there, as well as the EPC, President's Coordinating Council. This is just another quick representation before we go into detail. So if we strip out the reds, basically, and the orange, in other words, the ones and twos, you can see that there's a lot of blank, which means that in important areas, performance is bad or weak. Okay. But let's go into just interrogating each of the standards, of key performance areas and their applicable standards. I told you there were six. The first one is integrated development planning and implementation. In this one, you can see that, of course, there's 22 at level either level 3 or level 4, which means more than 50%. And we'll see how this correlates. And the thing is that as a system of planning, in a technical sense, municipalities seem to be doing. We always get good results from the standard. And part of the concern is the extent to which, in fact, there's a whole bunch of consultants who are assisting municipalities in preparing IDPs, because they, you know, understand how this is done, and you know, they meet the sort of requirements in terms of all the categories that have to be identified in your IDP and presented in a particular way in terms of legislation. But when you look at then service delivery, how they translate into service delivery implementation, monitoring, and so on, then the picture changes. You know, so the planning is there, you have maybe a good plan, but when you look at it in terms of, you know, what municipalities call their service delivery, service budget improvement plan, then you see that, in fact, you know, what, just about 20 doing okay, and the others are level 1 and 2. Then extending that to how the planning works and how that translates into service delivery, you can see that the picture is not so good. Well, again, just keep in mind this group of municipalities. This is not a picture of 257 municipalities, right? This is this group that we that I've identified earlier, right? Of course, the encouraging thing is that municipalities have established a solid system to ensure that communities, particularly the poor and vulnerable, have access to free basic services. And there you see the first set of graphs. Right? But in most of the other areas, you'll see that the performance is not, you know, it's actually quite bad for this group. Water and sanitation follows, but there's hardly anyone in this group achieved either level 3 or 4, right? And so on, with some exceptions in, for example, transport and refuse. Just to keep in mind that when we're looking at water and sanitation, and this one here is this is about, you know, water and sanitation, the ability to plan effectively, include conservation demand management into their plans, and the extent to which they have knowledge of their system. And this is the MUSSA is what's called the Municipal Strategic Strategic Assessment. And what they do is that they go into the operation. They measure 18 operational attributes of a water function. Okay, so this is a high-level summary of that. So it would look at, for example, how much of water is lost through leakages, technical losses. What's the quality of the skills, right? And this is not just a general assessment of skills. It will say that you have these kinds of schemes, right? For example, wastewater treatment works, etc. And this is the technology. And therefore, in order to operate and maintain this technology, these are the skill sets. So that's why I'm saying it's operational, or what others would call the real business attributes. What's the quality of your lab services? You know, how often is your ability to test and those kinds of things, water quality testing and so on, right? Right. All right, so let me just continue. The next one I said which is the performance area of human resource management. We're seeing here a significant improvement, and this we think if it continues would lead to general improvement. And the reason I say this is that honorable members will know that through the MFMA as well as the municipal systems regulations or sort of laws, minimum competency regulations were promulgated for senior managers, right? And particular recruitment practices were prescribed. And these are very strictly monitored, okay? so much so that the MEC and NASA can intervene where those recruitment practices have not been followed, or and or when people have been appointed, either to say, for example, CFO or whatever the case may be, that in fact don't have minimum competencies as prescribed. And so you can see that there's a high level of with this group of people complying with that. And so there should be a relationship over time as these as you get more and more competent people into the job, so to speak, you can expect that performance will rise. Performance management, though, is uneven. Right? So the systems to ensure that, in fact, senior managers, that include municipal manager and his or her senior manager, have rigorous performance management systems. You know, their performance is assessed accordingly. Financial management, there's a big issue in relation to effective budget planning and management, and you can see predominantly, just six municipalities in either three and a four combined, but the rest are 34 of the 40 set at level one. Unauthorized expenditure, all leads into poor budget planning and so on, is huge. We know from the auditor's report as well that this has become a big issue. And in fact, in the last 10 years or so, irregular expenditure has grown across municipalities as a whole, an average at 10 times what it was 10 years ago. So it's a big problem. Revenue management, this is a constant challenge for municipalities, and they haven't quite grasped that challenge. Without, as we know, good revenue management, municipalities who rely on all revenue by and large are not going to be able to fulfill their obligations in terms of their plans. And then for supply chain, we look at, of course, the four dimensions of supply chain. You know, from demand management to acquisition, logistics, and you know how that's organized and spread around, and eventually disposal, which is how obsolete assets and so on are disposed of. And you know, from this you can see that municipalities are in fact not doing too well in the area of supply chain management. Acquisition is and demand management not so bad. Disposal is of course the best. Now the thing with disposal management is just to keep in mind that it doesn't mean that if they're disposing of assets, and that's why you know we go in deeper when people show results. That's why it's not sufficient serious assessment in the way that people fully can produce a report and not sufficient. That's why these management meetings with municipalities, these conversations are hell of important because we want to find out more about how they go about it. One, that it could provide useful lessons for dissemination more widely, but two, it could, and it has in some cases told us that in fact, that while they so-called meeting the legal requirements of the fiscals with respect to how they dispose assets, it doesn't mean that they're getting the best value from the disposal. See what I'm trying to get at? So you could legally mean something, but an asset in disposing it, say, could be worth 10,000 rands, right? But you're actually disposing it in a way legally, but you're only deriving 2,000, just by way of example. And some of the things, I'm just by way of illustration, but the big areas of disposal of assets, which we're beginning to analyze and so on, could also be in the area of land, which is of concern. So we're sort of moving into that. Our municipal land is kind of used sometimes willy-nilly at the expense of, and given to private, at the expense of public interest. Community engagement is again not a very good story. We continue to be very formulaic and ad hoc about how, and this is correlated with the work that's been done by people, the B2B. With all of these, as I said, other assessments, there's a close relationship. So, you know, we're still not getting effective public participation, community and engagement going. And, you know, as the results have shown that, in fact, when we started in 2014 in terms of the MTSF, public trust and confidence in local government was benchmarked at 65%, right? In the last report we completed towards for the cabinet reporter was showing at 47%. So public trust and confidence is declining, and this is a factor that we now have an effective mechanism. The last set of standards relate to governance, and municipalities seem to be doing, from this you can see, reasonably well in sort of areas of risk management, delegations and so on, but not so much in terms of the public accounts functioning, but that kind of oversight role in terms of audit findings, again, a huge, huge problem. So of course, you know, this is all very well. So let me just say, so what happens is that each municipality, of course, has got their individual scorecard, right, with, that highlights these things, summarized in terms of various charts and so on, so it's very visual, but it's accompanied by a narrative analytical report, which analyzes those results, and guides municipalities on where attention needs to be paid. But, you know, so we've recognized that, of course, we can't stop at just assessments. That's not, it's a means to an end. So key is how these assessments can be used to identify root causes of underperformance. Now, we stress the word root causes because, you know, one would have thought that this is common sense, but strange enough, it doesn't prevail in the way that problems and challenges are identified, right? And this is not just with municipalities, but also in the way that various provincial and other support initiatives are. So they take a problem. I mean, we were working when we worked with the results of Rustenburg, for example, and they were not meeting, you know, the requirements of at least 6% allowance for operation and maintenance of the electricity network. They said that, you know, so the improvement action was increase. That's what I mean. That's what you're looking for, isn't it? So that's really the root cause. So you have to understand why over so many, and you know, if you go back in time, they have not been able to maintain that kind of norm for operation and maintenance of the electricity network, right? And we found that, in fact, the root cause was in the way that budget management and planning was happening. It was very ad hoc, and therefore this wasn't a properly expense, maintenance in general, even for water and sanitation. So you can see that, I mean, in a other weird, I think it was much a bank, the CFO was not appointed for 18 months. The improvement action was appointed CFO. But when you talk about it, but why haven't you been able to do this for 18 months? Then the information comes out, right? And in their case, so we said it could be that you don't have the money to pay for a proper qualified CFO, so it's difficult to recruit. It could be a number of reasons, or your HR systems are not working, and recruitment practices are weak, what else? Anyway, it turns out that the reason was that they were there was some kind of interference which was hampering their ability to recruit people who met the MFMA requirements, competency requirements. So you can see that ability to sort of take a problem, get to its root cause, and then target the interventions that is. So I'm raising that because it was quite a revelation, and so you'll see in our work, we have designed guidelines and training sessions for municipalities and provinces on how to do that improvement planning using these results. Of course, as I said, we've got a small team, and that's for our partnerships are important with provincial departments that are responsible for local government, as well as the national DCOG's B2B teams. So they're meant to assist. So, but we of course also try using our available resources, and so we work with 5 ministers doing directly with them on improvement planning. Of course, our big expectation is that the provinces play a big part, but this is turning out to be a challenge, and not all provinces are forthcoming. And I don't know if honourable members had sight of even the B2B report, which also highlights this as a serious. So and that's why even in the MTSF, we're saying that we spend on average over the MTSF 2 billion rand. If we add up all the support, capacity building, for municipalities, it adds up to about 2 billion. Then if you add to that a national department and 9 provincial departments who have, in terms of the constitution, section 157, right, the legislative power and authority to monitor, support, and enable municipalities to carry out their mandate, we're talking about, easily about 12, if we add up all of that capacity into the system, 12 billion, right? And unless we fix that, right, then we're not going to make an impact. So there's been a big push to begin to address that kind of central problem, that we have a government system that we're structured to fulfill particular role. How do we get them to play their part in all of this? I think I've talked about an illustration of the process flow broadly of our improvement planning. As I said, there's a guide to this, and we have training sessions. So, in conclusion, then, even Dr. Ntiki mentioned this in her presentation, that ultimately, we're going to get good performing institutions if we have the kind of management and leadership, right, that's up to the task, essentially. Dedicated leaders, managers, if you look at any successful organization, they don't hide away from diagnostics of this nature. In fact, they value them because they're mission-driven, value-driven, right? You want to increase value. And so these assessments give them management information. So at least we can get managers to see this, not as somebody coming in to, embarrass them or whatever the case may be, but in fact, to provide key insights into where the organizations are doing well, where the organizations are not doing well, and here's opportunities to improve, right? So unless we can get that kind of orientation, there's a lot of things we try and do which should be commonplace practice of any manager, even M&E, right? managers should be part of management responsibilities and functions in relation, because if you set up a program that's meant to advance your vision, you set goals and objectives for that program, right? And if you think it's important, why aren't you monitoring it as a manager? Nobody else from outside should come and tell you about it. You know what I'm trying to say? In theory and reality, but sometimes in our system, people have to come in from the outside, which is... there is a big issue that, aside from... So there's two big issues coming out of this kind of work, is that do we have an empowering local government support system? And you set it up, but is it playing its role well enough and impactfully? And the other is, is the orientation of management towards performance, right? And do they have the vision, mission, and so on to in fact commit to that? So we are saying that, of course, at the end of the day, our municipality is willing to use these results as, as I said, insights or key management information, so that they can, look at where the gaps are and improve. And then, one point I've made already, is whether provincial departments of local government, how can we get them to step up their involvement and support to municipalities in a more impactful way? We are not just saying this because they don't seem to be playing a big part. We did an assessment of four provinces with National DCOG to see whether they have the essential prerequisites and requirements to fulfill that mandate. Right? And it was not a good. So you can't be supporting municipalities on integrated development planning if you don't have people who even know what integrated development is, the point I'm making, isn't it? So it is a matter. On average, 85% of provincial departments, on average, right? Of course it varies, administrative employees. Right? 15% can be considered core. I'm talking about the four. 15% can be considered, central to the core mandate of supporting. But even if you go into that 15% and you find out what's the depth of the competency to fulfill that role, then we are there. So there's important part of the system, and as part of the initiatives through the NTSF and so on, there is this big push to then focus on institutions. And that's across the board. It's the provincial structures, it's the districts, as well as the water service authorities. Not all municipalities are water service providers and authorities. Of the 257, about 150 are just water, authorities. And similarly, electricity distributors are around 170. So do they have the operational and business attributes to do the job? It's not about, a gentle assessment. Those require very, very clear skills and competencies. So can they do it? So those have been identified as through the NTSF in the next period. At this point of intervention, because as we come back to the logic of the NTSF, that quality of institutions matter if we want to get good results. Other than that, thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mohammed. Honorable Kasim, any colleagues? Okay. Then I'll receive by show of hands, but it will be followed by the way indicating you don't want to speak here. I know, I do
another member. Oh. Yeah, just thank you very much. Just an observation. a lack of common sense that you sort of frustrate, but common sense doesn't seem to prevail. Well, I got news for you. Common sense is not common to all of us, so you know why I'm going to do that. But what I would really like to talk about is the fact that if you go to slide 88.4, the financial management, right, that reflects exactly the state of our municipalities in the country. Most of them, as we understand it, are totaling on bankruptcy, and you can see those rates there. Budget process, revenue management, sometimes underwriting. Question is, what is being done in that arena? One of the issues that keeps on popping up is that many of the people, many of the people who are supposed to be paying for their services and stuff like that are not doing it. But when they do it, it's all wasted and fruitless expenditure and stuff like that. What is happening there? And just by way of interest, these four municipalities with whom UPME has been working and stuff like that, they are actually fine. Could you just know who they are so that we can follow them up? Thank you.
Thank you. I just have one or two questions in order to get clarity. I take it, or maybe I'm wrong, that all municipalities in the country are obligated to use this model. Then you were referring to the fact that you've got separate sets of municipalities which you are dealing with in a particular year. Now, what I would like to know is whether it then you said that you assess them the 1 year, and they then have a year in which to rectify things, if I understand it correctly. Now, what I would like to know is what then happens to the remainder of the municipalities in the country? Do they have 2 years to sort of implement this model? Okay. Then I would like to know, you have said that you've admitted that there's important areas in municipalities where performance is really very weak. Now, I would like to know whether you have statistics with regards to what extent the lack of service delivery can be linked to unrest and protest action at local level, and whether there's a differentiation between urban and rural municipalities with regards to this. Thank you.
Honourable Member, Honourable W.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the interesting presentation. I would like to go to slide 7 and 8. The Western Cape, I'm from the Western Cape, that's why I take interest. The Western Cape is none of the municipalities are involved. There's no numbers related to them. I'd like to ask why that's the case. Why there's no Western Cape municipalities. And why I'm asking this is because I'm concerned about two particular things. Firstly, fire and water. And I see in your standards that you've listed at the top, I'm not sure where fire falls in, under which one fire falls under, because every year, and many times during the year, our township experience fires. And it affects many families, and you know, it affects townships next to each other or towns next to each other. And every year this happens, every year. and their deaths of children, of families in the township. I just like to know from the municipality side, is there preparation, prevention, support, and which that is good for, and that, because I feel that this is very important. Local government or provincial government needs to give assistance in this regard, because it happens regularly in this province. But I don't see where it falls under, so I'm curious about that. And secondly, with the drought, and I can see you have water and sanitation, it is there, yes, but water resources management. Now, I've been reading the newspapers more and more, and in this country, it's not only the Western Cape, but this country in the future will become a water scarce country. And we're heading for that. So in the municipalities, do they have the ability to manage water resources? Whichever management system somewhere, do they have that? And many times the wastage is through leakages. But many people don't know about the leakages. Do the municipalities know or don't they know? I don't know. I'd like to find that out from you. And the municipalities, do they inform or communicate with the community, you know, about water issues, serious water issues, water leakages? Do they keep the community and the people informed so that the people themselves can take up responsibility to make sure that our water resources are carefully monitored and used, because we don't know what will happen in the future if we all have water or not? So I'd just like to find out where the responsibilities lie and where the support in these instances, water and fire, where the support lies. Because when we drive close to Harvey, I'm not sure if you know where that is, but from the freeway, you can see that on the mountain, and in the township of Harvey, you can see that the townships rise up on the mountain. There's so many of them. So I wonder, can water get there to put out a fire? Are there services in the townships? And who takes responsibility? Who communicates with the community? Who plans with the community? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor. Thanks for the presentation. Chair, slide 16 mentions at the bullet number four that some provinces are not forthcoming. I just wanted Mr. Norman to elaborate a little of what does that mean. Are there any issues that they are raising? If there are any, what are those issues? Because in my view, as I understand this, this is one of the tools that needs to be enforced, if it is possible, so that a culture of good performance is inculcated in municipalities. I mean, we all know that our municipalities are notorious for denial. And if you do not enforce such tools, then it will be forever a problem. So can you just elaborate on what are the issues that they are raising?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. Chairperson, I wanted to check on the 16 municipalities who has got the level 1 to get their IDPs. My interest is to check as to at what stage of the IDP. Was it the drafting and adoption of the IDP or the implementation of the IDP? Then my question would also be as to how many of these were linked to service delivery and protests during the period under review. The other issue, Chairperson, is with regards on human resource.
15 municipalities was caught at level 1 on management practices. I want to check if it's possible for the presenter to unpack so that we'll be able to know as to at what level of the management are they being scored, and to further check as to whether they are, if they are entitled to performance bonus. Lastly, is with regard to the water and sanitation, wherein 21 municipalities were scored at level 1. Which municipalities are these? Are we talking about them? Are they rural? Are they urban? And to further check what is their performance with regard to the revenue collection. I'm raising this chapter because it's only those municipalities that perform on revenue collection that will be able to perform better. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member. From my side, probably that from some of the questions, but I'll put it in a different way. The ones that you have targeted in terms of the year under review from the user rates and another colleague are those who are missing or dismal failure to speak. But I want to know what is the LNG relationship with the aging fighting with the year under review or the previous year, so to speak. I understand that you're just recently introduced into the call, which is good. But also looking at the picture in terms of the graph and the slide, it tells me that there is a lower understanding and appreciation and comprehending of Chapter 7, Section 151 of the Constitution. One was a bit heavy when Dr. Zilo was reporting that, and just moving forward, as CPMC, we have started to move one step forward to say not only to monitor, assess, but also to assist moving forward in terms of mitigating symptoms of this way. Have you then started to do that also with local government within the municipalities that they have been actively and you have been working on? But also the other one that I would like is under HI. That other municipalities from where I'm seated, I don't have a more of a research to work, but from a face value, which I can be also be corrected to it. That we've got more human bodies and lesser right skills at the right position for municipalities to execute their core mandate in this way. That will say to me how far your results get communicated, not through a media briefing, but in a city meeting with a COPTA DG and COPTA at a provincial level. But also, Dr. Ziki, you didn't respond to that, but I'm not even saying that you must respond. Hopefully, you're going to respond in writing. One, I asked the question, what is the role or mandate of the provincial planning commissioner? Because I think they should also assist in moving one step forward to the tight length, which it doesn't seem like by look of things. But probably then get the corporate portfolio committees engaging on those details. But also you may have us. And also to tell us what's the role of local government leader. It seems that it's not assisting in this way, I might do wrong. It might be assisting in terms of no value add in terms of their training. Or they're not focused in terms of also saying that includes SAGA. These are the weaknesses or challenges that makes local government to underperform in terms of specific municipalities, and that is how we're going to drill in terms of capacitating, not inducting, capacitating them moving forward in a continuous program in this way. thought also you're going, I'm not too sure probably what is expecting too much from local government. When do you think they're going to reach a stage where they are policies and their structures and their buildings will also start now reporting to the NDP everywhere? So they should be slowly moving towards that direction, not without saying that we are also taking care of the issues that are raised by NDP, but in terms of their planning and traveling transition way. Because that's what also can have. I'll stop there, but also probably would, at the end we'll make suggestions. Some of the questions are more suggestions than questions to respond to. Over to you, Mr.
Thank you very much for that. I mean, well, let me just take it from the top, right? And yes, I suppose we can extend, even though this is a small sample, as a general picture of where, particularly in relation to financial management matters. It's not scientific to let a lot of evidence, okay? But yeah, that doesn't mean we don't have our own knowledge of things. We're working with four municipalities from Northwest. Let me just get that list. It includes sorry, I got them listed. But can I send this to you? The one KSD and Rustenburg definitely, right? Rustenburg is supposed to be ticked off on this. I'll make a note of that. The question about what happens to the remainder of the municipalities and so on is firstly, this is not an approach that municipalities are obligated to that. It's a very tough situation, as you can imagine. It's a different sphere of government. But also at the same time, there's a range of other initiatives. Right? So the reason why we've taken a group of municipalities. Remember, at the start of each of the things, we sit with our partners, right? Which will include national departments like DECOG, provincial departments, sector departments, and even national treasury, and order the general for that matter, right? And you say, okay, so what is happening in the B2B space? Right. In other words, what's the coverage of that? You see, because you also don't want to, coming in with different things to one municipality, for example. You know, the B2B initiatives would cover similar things, and then we come in, you know, and municipalities are just going to get very frustrated with it, and they have been, of course, frustrations. So it's true that it's not obligation, but, you know, we've always been oversubscribed, by the way. In other words, more than we can bear. For example, this group we're talking about, we got an order of about 60 applications, and you know, we could only accommodate 40. But also, we saw that the B2B was taking care of a whole bunch as well, and so on. So, it is about, you know, ensuring that we don't duplicate and overlap and things like that, and in the process frustrate municipalities. There are, however, discussions about, because of this overlap, how can we link these systems more, right? In fact, it's even come to the MinMax, right, about how we then just build on the best of positives of each of these things and come up with one model or approach that covers every municipality. Then just remember that in the municipalities are not homogenous, right? So sometimes the standards in particular will not apply in terms of their rigor to say metros, which is a much more complex system. Right? They got, remember, they got, they lend on the financial market, they issue bonds, I mean, it's a big, big, you know, it's a whole different ballgame, right, in the city. So that's why that group is then, of course, taken care of through the city support initiative. So we have to differentiate in that way because not one model of those will apply to all municipalities. But I mean, as I said, there is discussions happening with the departments to arrive at and at a sort of, well, not a proliferation, so that there's not a proliferation of models and so on, but at least some standardization. There are some statistics about the relationship between service delivery and projects. And we do report that through the MTSF process. And, you know, if we look at the two graphs, the one graph will talk about public trust and confidence in municipalities, that's the south, which means down. And then the graph that is showing the number of community projects going in the opposite direction. I'm not sure. Okay. How many minutes left?
Zero.
Oh, so does that mean I stop here, or can I keep?
I think just here.
All right. Okay. I shouldn't be. Yeah. The point about fire and water are extremely important. It doesn't get reflected in these standards. That's true, and it's meant to be part of the disaster management strategies. And there is an attempt to check that up, right? And you know, municipalities and provinces have to develop disaster management centers, and they've been pushed to, in fact, become more rigorous in terms of how they plan for these scenarios. The relationship between AG and the LGMM, the LGMM goes a little deeper than the auditor, although we use the analysis of and findings of the auditor general and also input. But we, as I said, we're going into the work practices and operational practices in relation to what's happening in HR, what's happening in finance, and things like that, rather than what the AG does is reports on outcomes in that way. Let me just move on, sorry. Okay, so we and my apologies. Well, I mean, I suppose the important question, since like what I've been saying has been hinging on the, you know, the strength of the local government, the intergovernmental system, right? And so I'm thinking that the question about why provinces and so on are probably key to that. So the issue is that if provinces take their mandate, you can see that this process or approach requires commitment, it requires on the ground involvement, right? And very few provinces, of course, Northwest and Limpopo are some of the provinces that do push dedicated capacity into this work. But for the others, not so much. And we have to, you know, you'll find that our teams are a lot more in the field. Not that we don't do that, but without provincial presence. And we see that, as I mentioned, in the B2B reports as well, in the way that people implement, there isn't that kind of level of commitment and energy that's needed to make these programs effective. The IGP and leadership, the first standard on IGP is how they're planning, the second part is in terms of implementation. And that doesn't show a very good result. So if you look at this part, it's here, planning is doing well. This is the service delivery budget and improvement planning side. In other words, how we're taking that IGP, turning it into an annual plan, aligned to budget, and we see the performance shift. And just one last note, which I thought, sorry, thank you. The heat map, by the way, will assist, and I'll respond to this writing, but you can see the correlations here far more effectively. So you take a municipality, you say the one at the top, and you can see that, okay, these are all the standards created for in a particular way. Then you can see between, okay, so what's happening here is that they're doing well in basic services. So what's happening is the IDP implementation is not correlating in improvements in service delivery. Or what's happening with their budget in relation. You know, you can make sort of stuff, draw those kinds of relationships, what happening with their audit findings and things like that. So, but Chair, thanks for your patience, and I will respond in writing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mohammed. I know it's your first time here, as well as your questions as well, and thank you.
Yes, I wanted to say that Honorable Ndombela raised a question about the correlation between the MPET results and the AGA results, and I would like to provide the committee with that report that shows exactly what the partners are doing for the MPET, how the audit results are. The second issue, Chair, that you raised of the planning commission in the
wrong actually, generally, what we do, all the questions that we have asked, so that we can also cross with evidence, with last all questions that you don't mind, those ones who are not covered with the slides, just to put them in writing as well. And then by Friday next week, then, yeah, that should be. Thank you so much. Thank you. Honorable Selma?
Sorry, Chair, I don't want to use the time, but can we email the full report of the local government one as well as the impact, the impact we have, but we haven't seen the full report of the LGM, please, that can be emailed.
And any other additional information that we require, can you just submit it in writing so that it also captured in the thank you. Thank you so much. That brings us to point six. Can you just give us the hard copy so that we can go through those reports? Oh, sorry, I'm going to open it. When they are circulating the report, can we have a 5 minute health break? Thank you.
Idea of you.
advisor to provide that that plan for them to speak to them. Do we have any timeline to adopt it? So that how long is it going to take you to get that report and then to speak?
I think if I still remember the chairperson, I think one of the reports that or the release that was affected was consumer pricing debt. It's one of the things that are affected. So we can get that information and even compare with the that sort of thing.
Because it should be under proper standard, I think. Okay, let's go back to page 2 with the presentation. That is on that. I'm still following what we did with both
because I did go through this report beforehand. I think, as Julius was saying, there were specific ones that was noted, which is important because it's important for us to note those, like the CPI or whichever other one that might be at risk. Because if we speak, when we speak about those specifics, we can then understand what is the impact on government planning, etc.
Doesn't become the environment, but silence is going.
4.3 honourable members, the committee noted with discontent projected overspending on compensation of employee amounts to 91.1 million and mainly caused by the budget that was reduced by 141 million in 2017-18 financial year. Furthermore, the committee was greatly concerned about the possibility of services of Africa not being able to pay salaries as a result of the budget shortfall on compensation of employees in March 2018. And the committee will once again raise the matter with the MINCOM about dealing with government appropriation and budget adjustment. And budget shortfall experienced by the state might increase the quality of statistics in the country and compromise the institution in the long term.
Performance review on the quarter.
remember they're still at the end of it, where the annual report, the department is taking annual report. We'll use some of these reports on a quarterly basis to say we have been observing this particular trend. Therefore, as a committee, what needs to be done? What are the recommendations out of all these four performance reviews that the committee has done over the years? And at the end, choose the annual report, so it may be better for us. That's what they do. Because we are waiting to make recommendations every time. And where you will find that the department, they won't be able to, you know, to respond to most of our recommendations. So rather than limited to just observation, we have been observing the department, we have been, so that we avoid making a lot of recommendations like that.
That's too long, which is something we put in some way here. But that is all that I'm just making, just think about it. But I'm sorry, I had that.
Yeah, are we also correct?
We were according to the
Okay. On page 5, Chairperson, slide for a change. Sure. 4.4, where it says the committee advised the South Africa to leverage on the information technology in an effort to collect data cheaper for the purpose of reducing costs of labor intensity instead of labor intensive work. And for producing quality statistical releases instead of statistically releases. And are we together?
Yes,
then 4.5.
That will be the PMP.
Page 5, 4.1. The agency has achieved 96% of its year-to-date target. I think it should read, achieve 96% of its target today.
Just read it,
that sentence on another quarter. Must I read the way?
Oh, yes,
sir, please. I said, the agency has achieved 96% of its target to date.
Culture from primary to
tertiary education in order to account for number of dropouts, and how would that impact on the economy?
On 5.4,
okay.
Just for good order, the department is working together with the departments. There are two departments of basic and higher education. Should consider making school children from primary to tertiary education in order to account for their number, to account for their number of dropouts. Dropouts is one word. The number of dropouts and how that will impact, and take out the other letter, and how that will impact on the economy. Thank you.
You guys don't be too fast post 2019 election. We are still in 2018. It's one department.
All right.
The vacancy rate was at 25.5% from 29%. Shouldn't it be down from
29%? However,
shouldn't it read the following way? The committee NYDA to provide a roadmap in terms of the amendment of the in terms of the amendment to be provided to the committee by the end of March 2018. The committee requested the NYDA to provide a roadmap to the committee by the end of March 2018. The committee requested the NYDA.
I think what Honorable Young Group said, the sentence was after being rephrased by Honorable, the committee requested the NYDA to provide the roadmap of the amendment of the Act by March 2018. I think that would be better. The committee was concerned with the fact that KwaZulu-Natal province seems to be the only province who has responded positively and assisted the NYD with the mobile trial. The NYD were encouraged to pursue other provinces to seek to enter into the same partnership with the provincial government.
Here, to that Based on the above,
decided to organize a workshop on the political administrative interface in June 2018.
Thank you.
but if you check the 4.2, I think that much I can be addressed at 4.2 to the double show. At 4.4, the committee uploaded the National School of Government for its effective revenue collection strategy, which needs to be noted in the report. However, the committee urged the school to divulge the information of the department who was voting on the payment of training courses. 4.5, the National School of Government was urged to speed up the finalization of the funding and training model with the National Treasury and the Ministry of Defence. 4.6, the committee requested the National School of Government to develop a training mechanism of officials who have received training courses to determine the impact thereof and to determine whether training of what has been to the public service. And 4.7, the Center for Public Service Innovation was encouraged to devote additional resources in engaging youth to develop innovative solutions to enhance the capacity of the state to deliver services effectively, efficiently, and economically. Young people should be partners with the CPSI in finding lasting solutions to unlock these delivery challenges across the public administration. 4.8, the committee was dissatisfied with the slow pace of the consultation process on the second phase of public administration management regulation by the Department of Public Administration. The department, the DPSA, was encouraged to ensure consultation process on the regulation should take place in the fourth quarter of this financial. The committee noted that the department has not spent well its allocated budget on program 1 and 2. And the committee encouraged the department to effectively spend the budget to avoid underspending in 2017-18 financial year.
4.8. That not spent in system 3 well. The DPSA was encouraged to ensure consultation processes on the regulations in the fourth quarter of 2017-18 financial year to ensure consultation processes on the regulations take place. So this should be out of
4.9 should read, the committee noted that the department has not spent its allocated budget well. It shouldn't be the other way around. Not spent well. It should be the other way around. So they didn't spend their budget well.
Okay. At 4.10, the committee commented on the brief update by the DPSA on the progress supposed to be made thus far regarding the wage negotiations. And further requested a detailed update on solar negotiation in the next quarter. And the committee encouraged, at 4.11, the committee encouraged the department to continue with the public service administration norms and standard trainings. 4.12, the committee further encouraged the department to follow up on the ongoing matters, such as to sort the center model, which is still in the cabinet, existence of also the policy on the performance management performance management development system for the senior management, which must then be finalized.
I think it would fit well in terms of 4.12, although it's a bit of a diploma. You remember also we raised, that same policy, we raised a concern or an observation in terms of DPSA itself in terms of its denomination. That is the minister. She made an undertaking in terms of dealing with the senior management and information. So we did say something that changed to begin with home and that within that space. And he made an undertaking that she will in the next quarter that we can she will give us a better picture than what we did in it. I'm failing to catch up in the way that it was going to be and the response they offered. Or before you say anything, remember? When you are quiet, then you must move to that. Then you can capture that sentence from one sentence.
Thank you so much, honourable members. I must say that we don't have any outstanding just now for us to monitor after the report has gone through the house. Other than that, all the best.